Hello, welcome back to another episode of Broken Record. My name is Ellie, I'm your host, and this week we are going to be talking about Coachella. So this past weekend was weekend two of Coachella, and 2 weekends ago was the first weekend of Coachella, which also happened to be the last weekend of spring break for us. So I was able to go to weekend one of Coachella, and it was so fun. I'm so excited to talk about it, and I just had a blast. So the first person we saw on Friday was Sabrina Carpenter. And I'd said this before on my podcast, but I was so excited to see Sabrina because I've loved her music for so long, but I've never been able to see her live. And so it was really cool to see her perform live and just put on a great set. So I'll play two songs of hers. The first one will be Tornado Warnings, and then I'll talk a little bit about it and play the other one. So yeah, here is Tornado Warnings by Sabrina Carpenter, live from weekend one of Coachella.
I repeat, these warnings should not be ignored.
That was just Tornado Warnings, and I love Sabrina so much. I think that her set was one of my favorites. It was just incredible, and she had such fun, like, transitions between songs. The theme of her set was, like, she crashed a car into a motel, and the set was outstanding. It was, like, a two-story motel where people were on both stories. Like, it wasn't a fake second story, but it was a two-story motel, and then a car, like, an actual car was crashed into the corner of it, and the trunk of the car had opened up, and there was a piano inside the trunk, and so she would play from the piano, and it was so cool. It was so cool. But anyway, she had these transitions between the songs, which were so cool and, like, I want to say 50s or 60s themed. I'm not sure the exact decade, so forgive me, but it was the cutest thing. It was so cool. It was like, so I played the intro to Tornado Warnings, which was like a bunch of news broadcasts, like talking about tornado warnings and like being safe and whatever. And then the like intro to her entire set was like, they're like crazed pop star Sabrina Carpenter was seen driving, like chasing her ex and blah, blah, blah. And she ended up crashing into a motel. And like, it was so cool. And she had like commercials too, but she was like the star of the commercial. So it was like a beauty commercial she was in. And then it was like a romance movie commercial, but she was like the star of the romance. And like, it was so cool. The production was very, very cool. But yeah, so that was just Tornado Warnings. I love that song so much, and it was so cool to hear it live. And then the next one I'm going to play also is very cool, very fun, and it is called Already Over. So that was just Already Over, and it is such a good song, so fun. Sabrina Carpenter's set was just so good. She had the best energy. She's funny. She's really funny, very sarcastic, and just her set was so fun. I loved it so much, and I definitely want to go to another concert of hers whenever or wherever that'll be. I will definitely try and find a way to be there. But yeah, Sabrina Carpenter was a great set. And then later on in the day, we went to go see Suki Waterhouse, which was super cool. We only stayed at her set for a little bit because we went to another concert, which is something that is like expected of Coachella, but also a little annoyed. And I believe I said this last year, but where like there's so many artists performing in a day that you have to, like, there's a lot of the time you have to leave one person's set early to get to another person's set. So that happened with Suki, but it's okay. I got to hear some of the songs I wanted and it was super fun. So yeah, this is one of Suki's newest songs. It is called My Fun, and she released it like the week of Coachella, I believe. And it was so fun to hear and it was really cool. So I'll play My Fun and then another song from Yuki. So that was My Fun by Suki Waterhouse, and I loved Suki's vibe, her whole set. She was wearing this big, big, big fuzzy coat, and it just looked really comfortable. And then her set was really pretty, too. It was, like, very foresty. It looked like we were in, like, the set of a forest where, like, there was trees in like kind of a U shape around the stage and like a bunch of plants and leaves and just like very, I was going to say tropical, but I think it was more like rain, like not rainforest, but like forest than like tropical. But basically it was a bunch of trees and then there was like a platform stage in the middle and it had like this big vintage chair on it and it was cool. It was a super cool set. And that's another thing I'll say about Coachella, the like set changes and like quick turnarounds that they do are insane. Like they are working quick, because if you think about it, like when people are touring, like they usually have a day minimum to set up their stage and like test the audio and do whatever. But if you think about it, there's like 10 people performing on 10 different sets performing on a stage in any given day during Coachella. So like they do have time in between the sets, but it's so quick and they like barely have time to just like set everything up, make sure it's running smoothly. It's this whole thing. So very cool, very interesting to see like just how quickly everything's done. And I don't know, I'm always interested in like the production side of things that go into concerts. So it was very interesting to me. So I'll play another Yuki song and then we'll transition into the headliner of Friday, Miss Lana Del Rey. First, I want to play another one of Suki's newer songs and it is called Oh My God. That was Oh My God by Suki Waterhouse, and that was the last song we heard her perform before we had to go to another set. And I'm glad I heard that song, because that song has been stuck in my head for a very long time. It has a very catchy chorus, and I'm glad I got to hear it live. It was cool. So Suki performed, we went to a couple other sets, and then we saw Lana Del Rey, which was so cool. Lana put on an amazing set. I'm not gonna lie, going into like the week of Coachella, I was a little nervous, like that I wasn't gonna know any of Lana's songs, because I'm not an avid listener of Lana. Like I know some of her songs, but I wouldn't call myself like I like a fan. I wouldn't put myself to that status, because I know there are so many other people who are better fans than me and like know her songs and follow her and all that stuff. But I was nervous that like I wouldn't know the songs she was performing, but I knew she had a beautiful voice, and secretly I knew she was best friends with Taylor, and I was hoping that Taylor was gonna come out as a guest for Lana. She didn't, but we did get some pretty good guests, and I will talk about that later, because we're gonna play some of their songs that they sang. But yeah, so I was nervous about Lana's set, because I knew some of the songs, but I really only knew like the popular ones, and I was nervous about it. But as we went on through the week, my sister was in Palm Springs with us, and she went to Coachella with us, and she was playing music from like all the artists that were performing, and like, we kept hearing Lana songs, and I was like, wait, I know this one, or wait, I know this one, or whatever. And I realized I knew a lot more of her songs than I thought I did. And so that was a very nice surprise. And it was so cool. Lana's set was so cool. It was such a perfect headlining set. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. So Lana actually entered on motorcycles, which is the coolest thing ever. She and all of her dancers were like the second passenger on a lot of two-seated motorcycles, and so they motorcycled through the crowd. There was like a barricade that created a walkway to the like tech hub. It's not called a tech hub, but I'm calling it a tech hub. It was a barricade walkway to the tech hub and to the B stage, and so all the motorcycles drove like in a circle around the B stage and then came back down to the main stage, and it was so cool. Lana went right by us. We were like three people from the front of the barricade, and it was very cool. She was very, very close. She is absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, Lana's set was so good. It was very much like Great Gatsby, like 20s and also 40s, just like elegance and jazz. It was such a cool set. So the set premise basically was that it looked like they were in like the Great Gatsby's mansion, but it was like totally deformed and like it was abandoned. Abandoned is the word I was looking for. Like the pillars were kind of falling apart, and like things were like, there was vines growing on things, and it was so pretty. It was so cool. And she actually sang Young and Beautiful, which was so cool, and it was very magical. So I'll play it now. Here's Young and Beautiful by Lana Del Rey. Okay, that was just Young and Beautiful by Lana Del Rey, and it was so good. It was so pretty and just magical hearing the song that she wrote for The Great Gatsby in a very, very, very Gatsby-esque set, and just like vibe was so cool. It was so, so cool. So I mentioned earlier that Lana didn't bring out Taylor as a guest, but she did bring out a couple very, very cool people. So she brought out John Batiste, who is just an incredible singer. He also was performing at Coachella. He performed on Saturday. But yeah, I think it's really funny that like he performed at Coachella but was a guest at Coachella as well, because I feel like I haven't really seen that happen a lot, where like they're already on the lineup but then they surprise another set with their presence. So it was really cool. And then Jack Antonoff also came out, which was so cool. I love Jack Antonoff. He is a king. But yeah, my favorite guest though that came out was Billie Eilish. She is just magical, and it's not Coachella without Billie. She's done like the past 5 years of Coachella, whether it be like as a guest or as a headliner or just like on the like lineup, and Billie is just incredible. She has the most beautiful voice, and her voice mixed with Lana's was so magical. Billie came out, and Lana and Billie sang Ocean Eyes together, and then they also sang Video Games, which was just so incredible. So I'm gonna play a clip of Lana and Billie singing Video Games right now. Isn't that just so beautiful? Their voices are so good. It's just incredible. It's incredible. Another song that Lana performed that was so good live was Summertime Sadness. great song. It was so cool to hear it live. Just like, I am so impressed that Lana Del Rey was a headliner this year, because she's not, like, her type of music is not what I would assume Coachella is looking to have headline. Her music is a lot slower. It's a lot just, like, more vibey and, like, I don't know, because compared to the other two headliners, she's definitely the most slow, kind of melancholic artist. Because, I mean, Tyler, the Creator and Doja Cat were very high energy, very intense. So it was very interesting that Lana headlined, but I loved it so much. It was so cool. I think they should have more artists like similar to her vibe headline. I think that would be really cool. So yeah, I said Summertime Sadness was also performed and it was very beautiful. So I gotta play it for you right now. That was just Summertime Sadness. It is so beautiful, so pretty, and just incredible to hear live. And I mentioned earlier that when Lana entered, she came in on motorcycles and they did a circle around the B stage. And Lana Del Rey actually never went on the B stage, but her band did. And it was so cool. It was so cool. Her band went on the stage and it was like horns and it was, I believe some strings were on the B stage. It was so magical. So they were only on that B stage for the last song and the closing, and like when, as Lana was leaving, they were playing music off of that B stage. And it was very, very, very like old timey, like just party music. And there was a fireworks show going on in the background. It was actually the most magical thing. And I felt like I was transported back in time. It was so cool. So I'm going to play a clip of that, like that scene that was happening of like the fireworks show and the vibey music and all of that. And just like take away the fact that this was at Coachella, just like listening to it, you're in a movie. Like, you really, truly feel like you're in a movie or you're watching a movie. Like, it was such a perfect closing to the set. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. That was probably one of my favorite closings to a concert, probably ever. I think there's a couple others. Like, Taylor Swift has a good closer. Billie Eilish has a good closer. But, like, the time period where the last song is finished to when the artist is off the stage, that probably is one of, in the top three for me. It was so good. It was incredible. So I'm gonna quit blabbing about it and play it for you now. Like, come on. Do you not feel like you're in a movie after hearing that? It was so cool. It was so cool. It was absolutely magical and a great way to end the first night of Coachella. It was so cool. It was so cool. But yeah, then we make it into day two, which is Saturday, and the headliner is Tyler, the Creator. And so this day was such a fever dream. It was such a fever dream. So we started off by going to see Kevin Abstract, where I saw Sabrina Carpenter and Barry Keoghan. And if you didn't know, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are dating. Sabrina performed on Friday of Coachella, and Barry is the lead actor in Saltburn. And so they're dating. They were in the crowd and we saw them just having fun, dancing, doing whatever, they're a cute couple. And then I also met Emma Roberts. I got a selfie with her. And I also, this is so cool, but like, if you know, you know, it's that type of thing. Zach Sang was there and I got a picture with him and it was so cool. It was so cool. So Zach Sang is an interviewer. He interviews celebrities and musicians and just does an amazing job. He's such a good interviewer. And so I saw him at Coachella and I got a picture with him and it was so cool. I love Zach. I love his interviews. I watch them all the time. And it was very magical to meet him and see him live. It was so cool. And so, yada, 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 we went to Kevin Abstract's set, which was basically celebrity palooza. There were so many people there that were famous. And I was like, okay, cool. So, like, there's another person. Oh, there's another person. Oh, okay, there's another one. So it was just so many celebrities were right there. And it was so weird, but also really cool. But yeah, so we went to see Bleachers. We saw Kevin Abstract. Very cool. And then we left to go see a little bit of Sublime's set, which was so good. And then we left Sublime early to go to Bleachers. And let me tell you, Bleachers was probably my favorite set of Coachella. They're very, very, very minusculely, just slightly above Sabrina's set. But Sabrina and Bleachers were so good. So was Lana. Lana was very good as well. But like outside of headliners, Bleachers probably takes the cake. They were so good. They were so good. And I love Jack Antonoff, so I might be a little biased, but it was really good. So yeah, again, also Celebrity Palooza. There were so many people there. Sabrina and Barry were there again. And Joshua Bassett was there, who was the lead actor in High School Musical, the musical, the series. And then there was a guy named Taylor there, and I'm forgetting his last name, but he was the star of Red, White, and Royal Blue. He was there. There was also a couple influencers there that I saw. And also Taylor Swift was there. Taylor Swift and Travis were side stage. And I'll get into the story of seeing them later, because I'll play the song that I noticed them second. But so the first song I'm going to play is called I Want to Get Better. And I love this song so much. And I love everything about it. I love Bleacher's set. And I feel like this song really gives the vibe of Bleacher set. So here it is. Isn't that just so fun? Like, they're Jack Antonoff, as well as all of the other people on stage and like the band members and everything, had such high energy. It was so amazing. Like, Jack was literally like a rabbit. He was bouncing everywhere. He was going up on the speakers. He was crowd surfing. He had so much fun, or he looked like he had so much fun. And that in turn made everyone else have so much fun. Just the whole set was so insane. It was so good. It was truly one of the best sets I've seen. Holy moly. Bleachers was a good concert, and I wish that they would go on tour. Maybe they are going on tour. As of right now, I don't know that they're going on tour, so I'm going to hope that they are, and I'm going to hope that they're coming to Seattle, and I can go to one of those concerts. But anyway, great concert by Bleachers, great set. They were so good. And so next I'm going to play the song Don't Take the Money. And this song in itself is so magical and so good. However, it's even more special to me now because I mentioned earlier that I went to Coachella with my sister. We went with another girl who I absolutely love named Haley. But whenever I go to concerts with my sister, I'm very much the recorder and she's very much the dancer and the crier. So like whenever a song comes on that she really likes, she like taps me on the shoulder and she's like, can you record this one for me? Can you record this one for me? And so I'm always like, yes, of course, like whatever, have fun, dance, do whatever you need to do during this song. And so she did this to me during Don't Take the Money. It started playing and she was like, oh my gosh. And she tapped me on the shoulder and she was like, record this, record this. And I was like, okay, I got you. So I was recording this song, enjoying it, mouthing along to the words because I didn't want my voice to be in the video. But yada, 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 the song was playing. And I'm looking around in my, like, on my phone screen, and I'm looking at, like, what I'm videoing. And I see this guy, and, like, who looks pretty tall, and he has a white shirt on, and he's wearing, like, like pit vipers, I think are what they're called. But like those like sunglasses that are very, very, very reflective. And he was wearing a white hat. And I was like, I feel like I know this look. I feel like I know this attire. So I'm like, I'm almost positive that's Travis Kelce, but like I'm not 100% sure. So I turn around and I'm still recording on my phone. And I turn around and I'm like, Audrey, give me your phone. I need your phone. And she gives me her phone, but since we were at Coachella and, like, phones get stolen at Coachella, we all had phone tethers on. So, like, we had a carabiner attaching our phone to, like, our bags. And so I was like, no, take off the carabiner. Like, Audrey, I need your phone right now. And so she, like, hurriedly, like, took it off and she gave me the phone. And she's like, what are you talking? Like, what are you doing? Well, you were, like, already recording. You have your phone. And I was like, just be quiet. And so I put Audrey's phone next to my phone so I could balance them. And then I zoomed in on Audrey's phone and I started taking pictures, like, rapidly, and Audrey's like, holy moly, is that them? And I was like, I'm pretty sure. And so then, like, we started freaking out because we saw Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and they were just dancing, having fun, enjoying their time. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's Taylor Swift. Like, that is the closest I've been to Taylor Swift, and I really couldn't even see her completely because the set was so foggy. Like, they had a lot of smoke machines, so you could really only see them, like, when the light hit the fog, right? But we saw them and it was really cool and we started freaking out. So long short, Don't Take the Money is now a really special song to me because, one, that's what a song I heard during Coachella, but two, I also saw Taylor Swift during that song and it was really cool. So in honor of that, I will play Don't Take the Money live from Coachella. Love that song so much and I will always love it so much. But so after Bleacher's set, we went over to Ice Spice because there was basically a list in my brain of, like, people Taylor Swift is friends with, so, like, and could potentially be a guest for. So I had Sabrina Carpenter, who was just opening for Taylor, Lana Del Rey, who are, like, besties with Taylor, Jack Antonoff from Bleachers, who just makes tons and tons of music with Taylor and they're best friends. And then I had Ice Spice because, like, they're friends and they did a remix to Karma together. And so I was like, okay, like, 3 out of 3 were not Taylor. There's one more. Maybe she'll come out. And so we went over to Ice Spice and we were on the edge and whatever. And she starts being like, shout out to Taylor Swift. And I was like, no way. Is she about to come out? And she didn't. She didn't. And I was like, okay, cool. But Ice Spice did play Karma and, like, did her part of the song. And it was really cool, really fun. So I'll play that right now and then I'll continue my story. Got you waving pretty white flags. Clean up what I catch. Thinking it'll save ya. Now you're switching up your behavior. It's okay, baby. You ain't got a burn. Karma never gets crazy. So I keep my head on my brother, my whole brother. Promise that you never endeavor with none lesser. Ever, ever, I'll be trying that way. Karma is the fuel. So she sings Karma, she does her part of the song, and I'm like, that's kind of weird because I feel like Taylor's watching, but good for her, good for Ice Spice, and good for Taylor for saying no, because she very easily, Ice Spice probably did ask her to come on stage, but I'm assuming Taylor said no, maybe she wasn't even asked, but blah, 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 Ice Spice performed the song, and then she kept doing her set, very fun, very high energy. And then she sang Barbie World, which was really cool. She did that song for the Barbie movie with Nicki Minaj. So there was, like, the audio recording of Nicki Minaj, and then Ice Spice did her part of the song. And it was very cool, very fun. So I'll play that. So, yes, Ice Spice performed. She was so good. And after that, we left the set to go to another set. And I will say something about Coachella is that they have really bad cell service. And so you can, like, the internet doesn't load. Your texts are, like, barely going through. And so I wasn't able to check the internet. So we left Ice Spice's set and went to No Doubt, and then after No Doubt we did Tyler the Creator, and then we left Tyler early to go to bed. So we left Tyler early to go home, and then I was finally able to go on my phone and like check Instagram, check all the socials, whatever, and I see videos of Taylor and I'm like, no way. And so it's like a video of Taylor in the crowd jamming out to Karma while Ice Spice is singing. And so that was cool. It was weird that Taylor was there and I didn't know she was there. But it was, yeah, I'm glad Taylor was able to be in the crowd, experience like a concert from like a crowd perspective, and also to hear her song. Like, she's usually performing her songs, but this time she got to hear her song. And so, yeah, it was very cool. But just to finish out that Ice Spice story. But now we're going to rewind and go back to No Doubt, because No Doubt had a great set. They were so good. And I'm obviously going to play one of their most iconic songs ever, I'm Just a Girl. But first, I want to talk about Gwen Stefani, because I'm really, really, really struggling with Gwen Stefani right now, because I'm not sure if her stage presence was normal. If her No Doubt performances and her Gwen Stefani performances and her Coachella performance all had the same vibe to it, all had the same energy to it, or if it was like something that she did during No Doubt that she was kind of recreating the energy for Coachella, or if it was a completely new thing. But I know it's not a completely new thing, because I've seen videos of her performing for No Doubt, but I'm wondering if she brought back that energy, or if she has had that energy consistently throughout her career, because she was acting like a toddler, kind of. It was not my favorite. She was very much, she was talking weird, not how she normally talks, and she was like, I don't even know how to describe it, but I was not loving the way she was talking. I was not loving it, and I'm not even gonna lie, it did kind of not make the concert fun, but the music was great. But she just kept talking and being like, so I don't even know how to describe it. She was just acting like a toddler. She was talking like a toddler. But yeah, so I'll play I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt, and then I'll talk a little bit more about how she was acting, because she talked during I'm Just a Girl. So I'll play it and then I'll explain it. So that was just I'm Just a Girl. Great song, love it very much. And a couple of months ago, there was a video going around that went viral online of Gwen Stefani performing I'm Just a Girl, like in the No Doubt era. And it was very much, it was like her interacting with the crowd and her being like, boys, I want you to sing, I want you to repeat after me. And then she's like, I'm just a girl. And then they sang I'm Just a Girl. And then she did that a couple times and she was like, girls, shh. And then she like did it again with the boys, and then she did it with the girls, and then they went into the song. And she recreated that. She didn't do the girls shush part, but she recreated that where she had the boys sing I'm Just a Girl, and then she had the girls sing I'm Just a Girl. And that was fun. I was not loving the energy. I was not loving the energy that she was putting out, but when she was performing, it was great. So it was very weird, but I don't know. No Doubt is a tricky set for me. But anyway, she sang great songs. They sang their classics, and it was great. She also brought out a guest. They brought out Olivia Rodrigo, which was so cool. It was Olivia's first time at Coachella, and it was really cool. They sang Bathwater, and it was such a good song. It was so cool to have Olivia come on stage. She was dressed up in a very, like, Gwen-esque outfit from like the No Doubt era Gwen, and it was so cool. It was so great. So I'm gonna play a little bit of Bathwater by No Doubt featuring Olivia Rodrigo. Yeah, Yes, it was so good. So I loved them singing together, and I thought it was so cool because the last tour that Olivia did, the Sour tour, she covered I'm Just a Girl on the tour. And so I thought it was really cool that she went from like covering a No Doubt song to performing with No Doubt, which is such a crazy jump. And they did a great job. It was very fun. And their set ended. It was great. And then there was like an hour in between No Doubt and Tyler the Creator. And let me tell you, that was like the coldest I've ever been. It was freezing. It was so cold, but we stuck through it. We managed, we had fun. We played games on our phone to pass the time, but yada, 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 an hour goes by and Tyler the Creator starts his set. And he opened his set with a very, very funny video. Like basically it looked like it was recorded on like a camcorder. Like it was a home video, and it was Tyler basically saying like, yeah, I've started a job as a park ranger. I'm having so much fun. I live in a camper van. I make eggs. And there was this one time where I almost blew up the van because like I was making eggs and I wasn't looking at the gas, and the gas was gonna explode, but I caught it in time, blah, blah, blah. See you in a sec. And then he like the video stops, and he like it's like the stage is dark for a second, and then it lights up, and there's a van on this, like a camper van on the stage, and we just see the camper van for a couple of seconds, and then it explodes, and Tyler the Creator like explodes out of the van, but like he jumps out of the van, and like that's how he entered. And I thought that was also very cool. And then he started his set, did his songs, whatever, and his songs are not the most appropriate. They have some bad words in it, so I'm not gonna play those, but I'm gonna play a clip from the camper van video because I thought it was really funny. So here's a video from Tyler's intro to his set.
You know, I have a really cool canteen. I just keep my water in and get fresh water from the river. And man, I love making eggs so much. I almost burnt down the place making eggs so many times. And the eggs burnt, and if you leave the gas on too long, the thing will blow up. Luckily, I caught it.
Yes, so very fun, very cheeky, very just entertaining. And so we did leave Tyler's set early. It was very good what we saw of it, but we left early because his set started so late and we were so tired we had to go to bed. Yeah, we just had to. Tyler's set actually started the latest of all the headliners. So Friday headliners start at 11:20. Saturday headliners start at 11:40, and Sunday headliners start at 10:20. So very differing times. The curfew for Coachella is Friday and Saturday. The curfew is 1 a.m. So all the concert, all the music has to stop by 1 a.m. And then Sunday, the curfew is midnight, so everything has to stop by midnight. So long story short, Tyler the Creator went on very late. We were very tired. It was a long day. So we left early, went to bed, and that was our last day of Coachella, unfortunately. We all had to leave early to go back to school. So we missed Sunday's performers, which I'm a little sad about. I really wanted to see Renee Rapp perform. I love her music, and I really wish I was there to hear her perform. She brought out Kesha, which I'm very jealous I wasn't there for. They sang TikTok, which was like my jam when I was little. Audrey and I, my sister and I, made like dances to it. It was so fun. And so I'm jealous that I didn't see Renee's set, but that was kind of the only person that I was like really, really upset I didn't see. Everyone else like I would have liked to see, but I didn't have to. So yeah. We left Coachella Day early, and very upsetting, but also very understandable. But yeah, overall, it was a very, very, very fun weekend. It was so cool. We got some good... Oh, something I will say that... So I went last year to Coachella, and I went this year to Coachella, and the way they organized merch this year was so much better. Last year, So I don't even know how to explain it to the right magnitude, but basically last year there was these two tents. One tent was like probably, I want to say like 500 feet long and probably like 100 feet wide. So they're like big tents. And then the other one was smaller than that, but it was still pretty big. So there's one big tent that has all of the Coachella merch, all of the artist merch in there. And so the line for that last year was like out the door. It was nonstop, so many people waiting in line. And then there was be a headlining merch tent next door to it, where it only had the headliners merch, and that also had a really long line. And so it was really annoying last year because, like, everyone wanted to get merch, but you have to go at, like, random times, or you'd have to go during, like, a really popular person's set, so you wouldn't have as big of a line. But this year, they really, really, really upped their game. It was still two tents, but they split it in half, so they were the same size. And one of the tents was strictly Coachella merch. It was Coachella Music. It was Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival is the full name, I believe. But it was Coachella specific merch. Every single item had Coachella on it. It was like Coachella branded stuff. And then the other tent was artist-specific merch. Instead of just headliner merch, it was artists. So it would be like Sabrina's merch. It would be Bleacher's merch. It would be Kevin Abstract's merch. It was whoever was on the lineup for Coachella and had merch to sell would be in that tent. No matter if they were a headliner, no matter if they were the smallest person that was performing, like, that would be there. So that was very nice because there was basically no line in either tent the whole weekend. It was really nice. It was great. It was much, like, a lot more well-run. So I appreciate that. And, yeah, that's kind of, I think that's all I wanted to say. If not, I'll tell you next episode. But next episode is a very special episode. It is our 100th episode. Very exciting. And it's also going to be a review of The Tortured Poets Department by Taylor Swift. So make sure to stay tuned for that. But that is all for this week's episode. My name is Ellie. I'm the host of the show you are currently listening to. It is called Broken Record. It is on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KMIH 88.9 The Bridge. And if you can't make it then, that's okay. You can search up KMIH Broken Record on any podcast streaming platform. And you'll be able to find me in all previous episodes and give them a listen. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Broken Record. Keep tuning in to 88.9 The Bridge.